All right, so we're here in June, but we're still watching auto sales for 2026 very closely, and a lot is riding for automakers on stock market gains, where inflation goes.
Yeah.
What the rates that are being set by Kevin Warsh now as the new head of the Fed as a way to potentially springboard auto sales. All of these things are at play. It's all part of our Mobility Makers topic today. And Dr. Tim Nash, the director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise and Entrepreneurship, joins us to talk about it. Doc, good morning. It's good to have you back.
Great to be back, Chris. Great to be back, Lloyd.
So let's talk about it. What are some of the things that are dependent for what the OEMs they're looking at to have a profitable, good 2026?
Well, as you noted, there are a lot of issues with inflation. Inflation is going to affect the purchasing power of the consumer. Inflation is going to affect fuel prices, which is all part of owning and operating an automobile. Inflation is going to affect what the amount of money that the manufacturer pays to finance and manufacture automobiles. So I think in the end, if you look at it, inflation affects so many components of the automobile. I just named a few. That to me is the biggest issue. And then the next biggest issue are tariffs. Tariffs are costing money for parts, trade restrictions. You may not be able to bring as much over, say, if you're Chrysler from operation in Canada. And so in a lot of ways, the trade constraints are up there as well.
The average vehicle on American roads is now about 13 years old. What does that tell us about the financial health and the confidence of consumers?
Well, Lloyd, I think it tells you two things. One, consumers are holding on to automobiles longer, but it also tells us that today is the heyday of the quality of automobiles, that they last that long, that they're of that caliber, and they last long. They if you take care of them, if you change your oil on a 2,000 to 3,000 mile basis, automobiles today are the best they've ever been built across the board, whether it be Europe, Asia, the United States. That's the biggest thing that tells us. In some cases, to your point, people are looking to get that extra year out of their automobile because prices are tough, their incomes, their real purchasing power is down.
Yeah.
But the overall number one reason is that the world produces great automobiles.
The USMCA is up for renegotiation this year. How important is that going to be for automakers and what they're expecting for the rest of the year and then into the future?
Well, that's going to be quite interesting as you look at especially what happens with Chinese automobiles. It'll be interesting to look at the trade in between the three countries. But, there's a lot of discussion with the Canadian economy now in recession and the U.S. and Canada not having real good trade relations or, political relations at that. There's a lot of discussion regarding whether or not we'll bring Chinese automobiles in, but especially whether our partners will bring Chinese automobiles in. And let's face it, China is producing a pretty good automobile. And the reality of it, Chris, is that when you look at that automobile, it's inexpensive. It is pretty good in terms of Deloitte's point, putting a lot of miles on the road before the car has to be, either a major overhaul or the car scrapped. So I think those are the big factors.
From the automaker's perspective, prices remain high, yet we're hearing about, shrinking profit margins. How can both things be true at the same time?
Well, again, what I would say is there's a lot of competition out there. So number one, as you look at profit margins, the high cost of financing is reducing profit margins. The fact that, sales is, the margin you make on a car is one thing. Mm-hmm. The number of cars you can sell is another thing. So the reality of it is, it's not just for the dealers, but it's also for the manufacturers. And again, Lloyd, I would also note that, unlike some people who noted these issues before, a lot of the data from economic storefronts is that the tariffs are taking a lot more out of the bottom line. I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce about this time last year in Lansing, and I've never seen a case in history where the key economists, such as in the old days Milton Friedman, would argue that tariffs are good, and sometimes there's a lag of up to a year that the costs work their way through the system. But another factor right now is the margins are down because the tariff costs have to be accounted for.
Interesting. Always good analysis, Dr. Tim Nash at Northwood University. Thank you for your time, as always. We'll talk again very soon.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Yeah, you got it. We appreciate it. One of the other stories that came out of Mackinac that we haven't really talked about much. There's a new survey that shows Michigan parents are more stressed and overwhelmed than parents on the national stage. Parents reported higher levels of hardships than parents across the United States. Debt and financial pressure, housing instability, unpredictable work schedules, all as a reason. About 41% of Michigan parents said they had to borrow money or take on debt just to cover basic needs. That's above the 29% national average. This it comes from some of the discussions up on the island and a study that was done with Capita and YouGov. 200 of 1,800 parents were from the state of Michigan, and they focused on financial pressure, instability at work, and even housing instability as a reason for the anxiety to go up in some of the parents here in the state of Michigan.
So, the items, prices of items are going up, pay is not going up, so I'm sure that's causing stress. And I'm sure a lot of people are dipping it. I'm just going to say I know some people who are, dipping into their 401s. They don't want to, but they have to because they're trying to make sure they can have ends meet.
Well, and we're in an age now where there are so many other external worries.
Yeah, right.
For your kids.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's social media. It's what they're watching on television. It's, what they're getting at school, things like that. That's tried and true. Mm-hmm. All of those things are things that you have to deal with and go through and be there for your kids when they got a hard day. All
sure.
those things. Those
sure.
don't necessarily cause anxiety. But if you don't have the means to then provide for them, on just some basic necessities.
On basic
necessities,
that's
the problem.
Yes. That's the issue. Yes,
that's the problem. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about schedules and not having childcare because you got to go to work, that does cause a lot of anxiety. It causes a lot of stress on families, on parents. Now there is a benefit. I mean, some people have a little more flexibility because they work from home, or
right.
they can be there in a emergency if they needed to more quickly, but it doesn't take it away for a lot of these parents.
No, and some kids some kids do extracurricular
sure.
things, and parents don't have the wherewithal, the means to do that. That can cause a little anxiety too, because you want your kids to be able to have that outlet if they want to, and if you can't afford it, that can cause some anxiety as well.
We'll get you the latest on the peace talks with the United States and Iran next on JR Morning.